Welcome to Last Games Night on Earth, a podcast where we discuss if you were given just one last games night, what would you wish for? My name is James, and this is the Dungeons & Flagons podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Jasper. We're going to talk about your dream games night.
It's a chaotic one.
Oh, is it? Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Jasper, and I've recently started up a podcast called Questioning Queers. Me and my friend TJ are going to be answering questions that people will often have. So our first episode is going to be on asexuality, and it's going to be sort of like some of the myths and common questions that come around that.
Excellent. Cool. So where would you like to start with your dream games night?
Should we start with the snacks?
You want to start with snacks? Excellent.
Yeah.
I love starting with the food. It's my favourite part of any game night.
Yeah. Apart from when the crumbs get on the cards, because that's not what you want.
Yeah.
Don't want crummy cards.
I mean, it's your dream games night. You could have crumbless snacks.
That'd be pretty good.
Or magical crumbs that just disappear.
That'd be better. Or they sort of like crumbs all form together into what you were eating. So you basically got like an extra bite. It's an
Love
endless
it.
Food source.
So snacks, what are we eating?
So I'm going for sort of like, a lot of people have said this because I've been listening to your podcast, but it's quite a common option. It's like a snacky sort of like buffet kind of thing, but it's going to have pizza because I reckon that's a really good sharing food.
Yeah. So what pizza toppings are we going to give people?
Well, you know, I'm vegetarian, so I reckon everyone else should just be meatless and
fair enough.
Have pizza.
Sure games,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I won't go with a veggie supreme because a lot of people are picky, but maybe just a margarita. I've had a better idea. You have a margarita and then you can put your own toppings on it. That's my new one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a pizza buffet.
Yep, that's my new idea. And then you can have whatever you want on it.
Yeah, sounds really good. Just loads of different toppings.
Uh-huh.
And then it, like, the slices could come around, like on a sushi belt.
And you don't, oh, that'd be great.
Oh, yes, I like that. So big old pizza buffet. What other snacks are we having?
It came about once when we were playing Jackbox that it's not a party without chocolate digestives. So we are definitely having chocolate digestives because they are the staple to any night out.
Really? See, like, chocolate digestives to me just spell sitting on the couch and going to sleep.
I always have a pack of chocolate digestives in my bag, and when I'm on a night out with my friends, I will often just be sat in the corner of Fab Cafe eating chocolate digestives.
I once went on a night out with a sausage casserole.
Really?
Yeah, it got confiscated at Fifth Ave.
Fantastic. We've got pizza and chocolate digestives. This just sounds like Jasper. Yeah, and then we're gonna, they're like cheese and onion rolls.
Ooh.
It's just gonna be lots of veggie stuff, lots of veggie picky stuff is my thought.
Excellent. I love it. What drinks are we having?
So I'm reckoning we're having ale, but like lots of different types. So we've got like Speckled Hen, Trooper. I've forgotten all the ales I like now. I like Thirsty Ferret. Anyway, lots of ale is my normal go-to.
Oh, you can have like a magical pump. Every time you pump your own beer, just a different ale comes out.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, and it gives you what you want. Like, it's sort of like, it doesn't give you anything that you wouldn't like.
I wish I had a pump that gave me everything
so
I wanted.
So do I. Christ, that'd be good.
Validation. Alright, so I like that, a magical pump.
What if you want the same ale twice, though, and it doesn't give it you because you've already had it?
The pump would know.
Ah, well, there we go, then.
Yeah. Very intuitive pump.
Oh, okay. I want this. I want this pump.
I mean, it would make my job a lot easier as well if I just had one pump to do. There's only four pumps at the Flying Flagon, and I'll be honest, trying to remember which ale is on which is really annoying. And then everyone's always dead sarcastic about it. I'm like I'll check the badges, and then they'll be like, it's that one. I'm like, yeah, but you've got the badge
also
facing you.
You change the ales at Flower and Flagon all the time. Like, you
exactly.
have a really good selection. They always change.
And they've always got changes the night before, so I don't know what's on that day. And then people are like, who's that one? I'm like, yeah, you've got the badge facing you.
I'm always nice. I'm like, oh. I was going to say, oh, I'll just tell them it's that one, but not in an arsey way. I'll be like, I can't do it now because it's just going to sound arsey.
Oh, that's why all the bartenders hate me.
Oh, is that one actually?
Excellent. So, big old pizza buffet with lots of veggie accompaniments.
Yep.
Lots of chocolate digestives.
Yep.
And then a magical pump that pours whichever ale you want.
And I think we need to have Pepsi Max as well, specifically Pepsi Max. It's my go-to drink.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'll often have like an ale and a Pepsi Max on the go, especially at house parties.
Have you ever mixed the two?
I have not, but Pepsi Max and gin is one of my all-time favourite drinks.
Pepsi Max and gin?
Oh, yes. Mm. I have asked bartenders before and they've been like, sorry, what? And I'm like, Pepsi and gin. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, just give me the goddamn drink.
I love when you're on the bar and you just hear the bartender go, are you sure? Because you know that somebody has asked for something batshit crazy. So, do you want a location? Do you want a...
I think for my location, I'm going for something mythical. And I'm torn between Wonderland and Neverland. I'm not sure which I want.
Which one's which? Well, oh, no. Wonderland is Alice in Wonderland.
And Neverland's Peter Pan. I'm not sure which I want, but that kind of vibe, a general like...
Is it Neverland without the racist stereotypes?
It's definitely Neverland without the racist stereotypes, okay. Yeah. We don't want that.
No.
No, I mean more like the Enchanted Forest theme, that kind of theme.
Nice. Okay.
I want to be playing my game and like fays are coming over and like moving my board pieces around.
Mm. So one you never grow old, the other one you play golf with a flamingo.
Croquet, I believe.
Do you know what? I'm getting me croquet and me golf mixed up.
It's a flamingo and a hedgehog, isn't it?
The gents down at the country club would be livid.
Watch it now. It's not even going to be croquet, is it? It's going to be something else.
I think it is croquet. I remember now. We'll see. All right. So which one are you going to go with?
I think we're going to go with Wonderland just for like the possibility that the Cheshire Cat or like the Mad Hatter or someone comes to try and fuck up the game. I think that'd be quite entertaining.
Fair enough.
There's more things that could possibly like cause mischief in Wonderland.
I reckon a lot of board gamers with cats have just gone, it isn't fun when the cat.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not good.
Apparently cats are pretty fond of board game boxes. Have you seen the Facebook? This is the second time I've mentioned this group. The Facebook group, Cats in Board Game Boxes.
I haven't, but I have seen a lot of pictures of cats just like in the middle of games.
I would hate that. I'd just be like, get away!
Is Cats in Board Game Boxes what it sounds like?
It's literally just pictures of cats in various different board game boxes.
Amazing.
Does it for me, that.
I could do ferrets in board game boxes.
Oh, yeah, you've got ferrets, haven't you?
I have 4 ferrets.
A friend of mine had to go to A&E once because his ferret bit his nose and clamped down.
Oh no. They've clamped down on my arm, but thankfully never my nose. God.
What about music? Are you doing anything special with music?
I think I liked the last one, the one that came out today, where you just have like a wedding band, basically, and you're like, play this. I liked that.
Oh,
idea.
The Beach Boys. I'm acting like it was, literally talked to him like 3 days ago, but I'm acting as if it was weeks ago. The 64-piece wedding band by Josh. Episode 1, if you're interested in listening to that, dear listener. Are you doing the same? Big orchestra? Or
no, I think for my music, I'm going to go with my usual. But I'm going to have like my usual mix of like proper 2000 emo bangers. So barely any board games get played because you're all like screaming along to My Chemical Romance or Fall Out Boy. That's my normal board game night anyway.
So a Wednesday night DNF after about 8 o'clock.
That's the one. Got a mix of pop punk and like get some grunge and stuff in there as well. And that's my normal go-to.
Just a kick-ass playlist then.
Yeah. And then like the more you drink, the louder you sing and the more nostalgic you come for your emo years.
Fair enough. Sounds great. What's your first game, Jasper?
My first game, I'm going to start with Ticket to Ride. It is...
Ooh, a classic.
It is one of my favourites. Like, I have a terrible attention span. So like, team games like Pandemic and stuff often aren't great for me because I just tend to absolutely lose it. I like games like Ticket where I can just plod along and play my own little game.
So Ticket to Ride, designed by Alan R. Moon. It's sold millions of copies, hasn't it? It is a modern day classic.
It's such an easy, fun game, though. Like, you don't, it's not a lot of massive brain work. You can just sit and play it and have a chat. And it's just, it's a lovely game, in my opinion.
Yeah. Do you want to give us a quick run through of the, of how you play your turn?
Yeah. So you've got your cards and your trains and your board. And basically, you want to get from one point of the board to the other with your trains. And then it depends who you're playing it with. Sometimes your friends will try and block your path, and other times they'll just be focused on their own. But basically, you want to lay your trains down and get from point A, which could be Montreal, to point B, which could be Los Angeles.
It's one of those really nice games where basically all you have to remember is, on your turn, you can either pick up a card, you can, or place trains down by using said cards, or yeah, you can pick up another destination card, which are basically, they get you extra points for doing certain routes, don't they?
Yeah, unless you get cocky and you, towards the end of the game, you pick up three more cards and you're like, I'm going to do all of them, and you do one, and then you're like 50 points behind, and it's like,
yeah,
oh shit.
Because if you don't do it, if you don't do the route card, because you pick up three, don't you, and you have to take what? Yeah. You can keep three, but you have to take one. But if you don't do, if you don't complete the routes, you lose that many points. Yeah.
You get a lot of cocky people like, yeah, I can do this in two moves. It's like, no, no, you can't.
You haven't been paying attention to how many trains are left.
Yeah.
So are you playing the original or one of the skins? Because they're basically the same game. There's, some of them have different rules, don't they? Like,
yeah, I guess
mostly the same
game,
but...
Yeah. I've only actually played the original one, so I'm gonna keep it to the original one.
Fair enough. You said you've got a terrible attention span. Have you tried the new ones, New York? And I think London is basically the same. Have you tried those?
No, I've not. No, I've heard about them, but I've not played them yet.
They're basically exactly the same game, but they've really scaled it down to a 50-minute experience. So quite a
okay.
Yeah. Just like a quick blast of Ticket to Ride when you need a bit of a fix.
Well, that's quite good.
Yeah.
Even though my attention span's bad, though, I do like Ticket to Ride because I can just sort of get like lost in my own little one. I don't need to worry about what anyone else is doing. I can just build my own tracks, and that's normally fine. It's when other people get involved that I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered now. I don't want to teamwork. I just want to build my train.
I think the price point on the London and New York games, it's quite low, so it's you can have both of them.
Yeah.
If you like that much Ticket to Ride.
I do.
Because
like
we have both of them in the flat, because sometimes we're like to sit down and play this for an hour and a half. Sometimes we're just like, yeah, 15 minutes of Ticket to Ride, go for it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. What's your strategy for Ticket to Ride? What do you mentioned about some of your friends blocking. What do you usually go for?
See, it depends who I play it with. If I'm playing it with my friends, we don't block. We just happily play along. I've got one friend who does like to block, and then we all get annoyed at her. And we're like, no, no, this is not how we play Ticket. You have ruined my game.
Oh, we should probably explain, if people haven't played Ticket to Ride, you never know. What we mean by blocking is that you claim a route that somebody else is obviously wanting to complete. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like you've got a nice little line of red, and then someone puts their blue train there, and you've just like ruined their whole game. And my brother as well, the first time my brother played with me and my friends, he was like, why are you all being so nice to each other? You could have blocked Dan like five times. I'm like, yeah, we just trundle along on our little steam trains. And he's like, why? Why the hell haven't you blocked him? Dan's going to win now.
You go over there and play Last Night on Earth.
And then like Dan will win, and my brother's like, what the fuck? I told you to block him. He's just won now. And we're like, yeah, but we did our trains. We're happy.
Yeah, but we had a lovely time. So
exactly.
Who's the real winner here?
We just sat there sipping our tea on our little locomotives. It was great.
You used to join us for the DNF pub quizzes. So
yes.
What year did it win a Spiel des Jahres?
Go away, James. Go away. I don't goddamn remember. Okay, 15, 2015.
2004.
Oops. I said that. I definitely said that.
We'll edit it in. Don't worry.
I'll say it now. 2004. There you go.
So what's your second game?
My second game is Deception.
Oh, yes.
What's the full title now? Murder in Hong Kong? Is that it?
Deception, Murder in Hong Kong.
That's
by
the one.
Toby Ho.
that's the one. And you introduced me to this game on like the first night I came to DNF, I think.
Woo!
You told me to play it and I fell in love with it, and my housemate bought it that very night, I think.
Yeah, so Deception, the deduction storytelling with Hidden Traitor game. It's a good way of describing it, isn't it? I've started using this game because it's one of my favourite social deduction games, and I quite like a social deduction game. I've started using this for when we get groups at DNF who I'm like, I can get you addicted to come to this night. I push this on them. Every group that I've been like, I bet I can get them to come back again. I get them to play Deception, and then lo and behold,
yeah, it fucking
there
works.
Next week.
Yeah, every week I'm like, hi James, I'm back. To be fair though, the first night I came to DNF, I was the murderer in Deception, and I accidentally took the card home, if you remember, and I had to come back the following week. Like, I'm so sorry, I stole the main card in the game.
I remember that, yeah. I was so happy that you had brought it back, because if you hadn't, that
you
game
can't
was
play
just
the game
ruined.
Without it. I just had it in my top pocket, and I got home and I was like, oh shit, I'm a murderer. Shit.
I mean, board game designers, if you're out there and you're listening, if it isn't too much trouble, if it's possible, put a spare in for like, if it's like a card that if it goes missing, the whole game is fucked.
You've got Jaspers with pockets, you need spares.
Yeah, like, there shouldn't be one element in a board game that if it goes missing, I mean, it might just be because I've got an event that 100 people every week play my board games.
With beer.
Yeah, with a lot of beer. There are some games where I'm just like, you can play it, but please don't. In fact, you know what? I'm gonna take this away, and you're gonna play with a receipt for. But you can't with games like social deduction, because everybody will bloody know.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jasper did it because they've got a receipt instead of a car.
It's like, no, I'm just a really stupid investigator.
All right. So do you want a little rundown on the turn?
Yeah. So I need to remember it now. It depends if you are the forensic person.
So everybody gets a card with a roll on.
Yeah. And you're the forensic dude. What's the official word?
So it's the forensic scientist.
That's it. Investigator.
Murderer. Murderer.
And then if you play with more people, you can get accomplices, can't you?
Yeah, there's like witness. Oh, I might be getting the expansion mixed up now.
There's definitely accomplice.
Is there? I think accomplice a better podcast host would have done some research. I think accomplice at LGNOE podcast people. I think it might be the undercover allies, the accomplice, and
that's it.
Accomplice and witness, I think, is the expansion.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm playing with the expansion then.
We've just shoved it into the box because.
Oh, that might be why I'm confused.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm getting confused as well, because we have just shoved it in. Because it's easy enough to take out if you just don't give the card to people.
Yeah, it depends how many people you're playing with.
Mm.
We've gone way off track.
Yeah, we have.
So yeah, it basically depends if you are the forensic dude, because I've still forgotten the word, even after all of that.
Scientist.
Thank you. Forensic scientist. The murderer or the investigator. If you're the investigator, you have cards out in front of you. And you and your teammates have to figure out who the murderer is with the help of the forensic dude, because that's his name now. And yeah, the forensic scientist works by putting bullets down over like these really very not helpful clues. So it can be sort of like state of the body, and it'll be like,
it's a very
disheveled.
Vague...
I'm like, thanks, disheveled's really helpful. It's not arson then?
Yeah, you have to kind of like, paint a picture of the murder with extremely vague words.
Yeah,
like can you imagine if you were a policeman and you actually did turn up at a crime scene?
Can you describe the body?
Flat,
old, flat, disgruntled.
Everybody has four cards, and four of them are clues, and four of them are like murder weapons, aren't they?
Yeah.
And if you are the murderer, everyone closes their eyes, and you signal to the forensic scientist which murder weapon and which clue you used from the eight in front of you. So everyone's got eight cards in front of them of different things on. So then as the forensic scientist, you have to try and paint a word picture with these really vague clues to the thing that they've picked. I remember once I was playing it and like it was like a dog attack on a building site.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I, oh.
So when you get the cards like killer robot and underpants and you're like, of course, why didn't I know it was the killer robot and the underpants? How foolish of me.
I managed to convince everybody at the table that when you get your throat slit, you don't die from loss of blood. You die from drowning. And I had eight Damn. People fully convinced of that fact.
That's pretty good. That's and was good like, playing.
Look over there. And Brilliant. Everybody was like, yes. That.
Yes. That is science.
That's science. And I was just sat there like,
yes, it's science. It was me.
IR killer. All right, what's your favourite role?
Murderer, but the thing is, I really like doing the murderer, but then I'll have cards like lipstick and underpants in front of me, and I'll be like, yeah, those are my murder weapons. And then my friends will be like, well, it's obviously Jasper with the lipstick and underpants, because why wouldn't they pick that? And I'm like, god damn it. And I always pick the really stupid cards and like, yeah, okay, it was you with those stupid cards, wasn't it? I was like, god damn it. I should have just put the normal stuff.
Yeah, I do really miss playing games like this. It can get a bit hectic with the higher player counts, but I do love playing it with like a good 10 people.
I've not played it with that many.
It can get a little bit hectic, but yeah. Like, yeah. And then that's when you introduce the other roles that help, like the murderer and help the scientists. So I think there's like two people that technically know the murderer.
Yeah, it is. It always really stresses me out when... you know who the murderer is and they're trying to pin it on you, and then they start to get people to believe them and you're like, no, that fucker is the murderer and they are pinning it on me, and you get really annoyed, which then makes you seem like the murderer because you're getting annoyed. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it is them.
It's exactly the reason why I love social deduction games.
Yeah, they stress me out so much though.
Yeah. I hate when you just sat at a table just looking across like, give me half an hour and you'll be my mate again. But right now, I fucking hate you. I hate you so much.
Yeah.
There's going to be a real murder soon. Okay, so what are we ending the night on, Jasper?
Quacks. Quacks of blah, blah.
Quacks of Quedlingburg.
That's it, thank you. But because of my guests, we're doing it with the expansion Herb Witches.
Ooh, I've not played this. Quacks of Quedlingburg. What does it add? Because I'm interested.
I bought it for my friend for Christmas, and it adds three witches, and I've only played it once. I think they give you coins, and you can use these coins once per game to do special things. So you can I think one of them was double your points. And they all do like special actions like that to help you get ahead.
All right.
Oh, and it's an extra card as well. They give you an extra card and tokens.
Worth it?
Yeah, I'd say so, definitely. It's an extra element to it. And like I said, adds another player, I believe, yeah.
Oh yeah, it does add an extra player. Mm-hmm. No, I really like playing it. I really like playing it with Zoe. Yeah, Wolfgang Varsh. If anybody's noticed that I still can't pronounce his name, most of the episodes where I've had to say it were recorded in the same day. I'm not just like going weeks in between, just not learning if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
It's a good name, though.
Yeah, it is. You know, he's like a molecular biologist.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But he's done some great games. He's done like Hive, Wavelength, Taverns of Tiefendale.
I've not played any of those. I've only played
All right.
I'm sorry.
I'll take that out.
You don't have to. I'm just ignorant.
They're good games. So what do you like about Quacks of Quedlingburg?
Well, as I was saying earlier, attention span, not great. Not very good at team playing games. So I like that I can just do my own little thing again. And I like, I don't know if we play it correctly, but how we do it is we all do our tokens at once. We all draw them out of the bag at once. We don't do it in turns. Is that correct? Or
yeah, there's one round where you do it one at a time, if I'm remembering rightly, but the rest of them you draw simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that you can build up your own sort of, like, I'm going to say deck, even though it's not a deck builder, but you build up your own
deck
token.
Builder in a bag, isn't it? That's how I'd describe it.
And then you can just work on your own little potion.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then
cool.
You have, like, you still have the fun competitive bits.
Yeah, the push your luck element is really good fun. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have it, like, oh, I only need one more white token, and then I'll boom. And I'll be like, oh, I've got loads in my bag. Let's do it. And I get like a 3. And I'm like, oh, great. Great. Brilliant. I should not have done that.
You can sit there and work out the odds and do all the maths and stuff. But you know that as soon as you get cocky,
it's going to boom.
Just going to kick your ass.
And then you have to pick between money and victory points.
Yeah. That's the worst. When everyone else is like, oh, I get to do
rolling
both.
Rolling their dice and doing both. Well, I'm going to pick money, I guess.
What's your favorite ingredient?
Ooh, I like the death's head moth.
Yeah? What does that do?
The death's head moth is if you have more than like the player next to you, left or right, you get a ruby, I think.
I really like the fact that it comes with all the different sets as well, so that, you know, if it's not even, there's like, is there like 6 or 8 different ingredients that all do different things? But then it's like, you get bored of that? Flip over the set and they do different things.
You can decide which game, you can decide like which game you want to play, because it's not an infinite different amount, but there's enough that it doesn't get boring.
It does make it a really replayable game.
Yeah, definitely.
Ah, cool.
Find it really aesthetically pleasing with like the crow's head and the death's head moth and the mandrake and stuff. Mm. It sets the scene well, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of feels a bit Brothers Grimmy to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right. So games, you had Ticket to Ride to start with. You went to Deception, Murder in Hong Kong, and then ended it with Quacks of Quedlinburg. Mm-hmm. Brilliant choices. Two of those are some of my favourite games. One of
Deception
them...
Deception and Quacks?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I like Ticket to Ride. I think I've just played it a bit too much.
Yeah.
I think that might be why I prefer the New York one now. Just because I have played it so much, and like I say, it is a good game. So every now and again, I just like cracking it open and playing it for 15 minutes. But to sit there for an hour, I'm a bit like, I suppose if I had somebody new to introduce to it, I would struggle through.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Should we talk about who you're inviting?
Oh, this is where it gets chaotic.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
72 people, please.
Yeah, I've not gone for like the easiest guest to sit down and play a game with, but my thinking is that I'm not a very easy person to sit down and play games with. So I've just gone with it's just very chaotic.
Go on then, who's your first guest?
So I'm starting with Kurt Cobain.
All right, cool.
It could go one of two ways. Could either be quite focused and play, or the other way, which I think is quite self-explanatory. There is no attention span there, that's going to be off in his own world, if you know what I mean. I think he'd be quite nice to just sit and play a mellow game with, but I also like the fact that I think he could get quite easily distracted like I am, so I think it'd like set off a lot of routes of comedic distractions.
He would be cool to sit and play a game with.
Mm-hmm. I would probably just make him sit and sing to me though. That would be the one problem.
I mean, there is a stage at DNF. Although you're not at DNF, are you?
I'm not at DNF, no. We've spoken about it. I'm in Wonderland.
You're in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
You could get out to some mischief in Wonderland.
Oh, dear. I didn't think of that. This is probably a very bad idea. There's too many things that say eat me and drink me. This is a bad idea.
So are you a fan of his music?
Yeah, I was trying to think of like my favourite people who I'd won, and he immediately came to mind. Obviously not someone I can meet, but someone that I would have loved to.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be really cool to like sit down and just have a chat and play a game.
I think board games are a great way to meet people.
Yeah, I agree.
I think like we should stop doing all these cheesy icebreakers. I think we should play board games.
Just sit down and call each other murderers or wolves. That's mm-hmm. what we should do.
Yeah. Ah, great first guess. So Kurt Cobain, who mm-hmm. else?
Going with David Tennant for my second one.
Ooh, the Doctor.
The Doctor, indeed. Again...
Is he your favourite Doctor?
Oh, he is definitely my favourite Doctor. Who's yours?
It's Christopher Eccleston.
Okay, yeah.
I felt his episodes were really quite a little bit darker.
They were, weren't they? And he had a really good relationship with Rose, because it was like one of the few where Rose wasn't in love with him. They were just like friends.
Mm.
They had a really good dynamic.
Yeah, I really liked Chris. David Tennant was amazing, and his stories were really good. Mm-hmm. There was just something about Christopher Eccleston that I really liked.
He had that edge.
Mm.
No, I'm not having Christopher Eccleston. I am having David Tennant.
It's your game tonight.
I'm having my lovely Scottish man. Again, would probably struggle because I just want to sit and listen to him talk. But seeing him act as well, speak to me. I think seeing him act as well, like, I think he could get into quite a lot of roles, and I'm not sure if he'd take it very seriously or go on a bit of a mischief, chaotic way.
Yeah.
I think he could go one of two ways.
Do you reckon he's a bit nerdy?
I mean, don't you have to be in Doctor Who?
I reckon so.
To a point, you have to be somewhat nerdy.
Is it just Doctor Who, or what else are you a fan of him in?
Doctor Who, obviously. It was Broadchurch. He was really good in that. Dez. That
was
brilliant.
Was it Jessica Jones?
Oh, he was so good in Jessica Jones.
Yeah, because I watched it and I didn't really rate it. I didn't really like it that much.
I love Jessica Jones.
Yeah, there was just something about it. I just couldn't get into it.
No.
But he was
amazing.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. He was really good.
Yes. He's really good in Dez as well, because, like, obviously it's based on a serial killer, and I'm sort of like, right, this is one of my favourite actors who I find really handsome, and I do not want to find you handsome portraying a serial killer, but here we are. Here we are.
Do you reckon he would be he'd be pretty good at deception then?
I reckon he would.
I reckon so too.
He would. So my third one is going to be Lelouch v Britannia, so I'm going to go on, like, a massive anime nerd now. Do you watch anime?
I don't. I can't get into it at all.
No? Okay. I'm a massive anime nerd. So Lelouch is from an anime called Code Geass, and he basically has a power called Geass, and he can command people to do whatever they want.
All right.
But he's also really intelligent and plays chess, so I think he's going to be a really good person to play with.
Hmm. Although, surely being able to command people to do whatever you want... Would you ever be able to play a game with him and trust that he actually won it fair and square?
This is my only problem. I was speaking about this to my housemate. I think we'd have to have a rule that he wasn't allowed to use his Geass power.
Yeah, but the thing know, is, would you?
He would know, because you have to look him in the eyes for it to work, and he has to say it out loud. So I think it'd be like, you just blindfold him, or whenever he starts to speak, you're just like, no, don't speak. But I think he'd be able to keep control of the chaos quite well.
Playing Quacks of Quedlinburg will be pretty hard with a blindfold on.
Yeah, to be fair, playing anything with a blindfold. We just won't let him speak. No, I think he could rein in the chaos quite a lot, though.
But with a spoken command.
Yeah. Like, behave.
Kurt, behave.
Pretty much. I think my last one is when we're getting really chaotic, though. We've got Loki.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Mm-hmm.
But not Tom Hiddleston. We've got, like, the actual Norse god of mischief, yes. Loki.
Mm-hmm. I want the actual one.
Yeah, I think as much as I like Tom Hiddleston, I don't think I can be surrounded by that many handsome men.
I mean, he's nice, but he's not actually a god.
No. We need real Loki. We need to feed him vegetarian pizza.
Have you read Neil Gaiman's book on Norse gods?
I have. I'm a massive fan of Neil Gaiman and of Norse mythology as well, which is why I'd pick Loki. But Neil Gaiman's book's really good. It's got lots of, like, fun little stories in it. Like, in one, Loki dresses Thor up as a woman to try and get something back from a troll, if I'm remembering correctly. It's fantastic. And it's just full of, like, little pranks that Loki and Thor play on each other. So I think I think having the God of Mischief at my board game night would be pretty ideal.
When you said it was going to be chaotic, I didn't think it was going to go this chaotic. The Norse god Loki let loose in Wonderland is not going to end well.
I think it'll be fine. We've got Lelouch. He'll just tell us all to behave. It'll be fine.
Got a great selection of games. I'm sure if you get him sat down, he'll just be like, Mischief can wait.
I can cause mischief in the game.
All right, so is that your last guess?
That is my guess.
What's your random special item?
Well, it depends. Am I allowed to bring pets?
Yeah.
Really? I can have a pet.
It's your dream games night, and this is your random special item.
I didn't know if it'd count as a special item because it's a living animal, but okay, we
can change it. Random special thing.
I am definitely bringing my ferret Gwen.
Your ferret Gwen?
Mm-hmm. Gwyn.
Gwyn, sorry.
Yes. I'm adding to the chaos. I'm adding to the chaos and I'm bringing a ferret.
You're just going to plop it on the table.
Yeah. Like, eat everything.
Oh, no. That ferret's going to end up with somebody's trouser leg, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But, like, Gwyn, I'm losing. Go and, like, bite Kurt's nose or something. It's great.
Yeah, I can imagine Loki just springing up.
Loki interacting with a ferret would be amazing to see, to be fair. Like, they're essentially two gods of mischief, because I'm pretty sure that ferrets are gods of mischief. So you've got, like, the master and the, he's learning. Gwyn's learning.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I wasn't sure if I'd get away with that, so I'm happy to have my ferret.
Wow. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add to make it your dream games night?
I think I'm pretty happy. That sounds pretty ideal. Ooh. I'm just sad it's only for one night.
Ah, well. It's your last games night on Earth, unfortunately. And then you're dead.
With Kurt, though.
With Kurt, no. We kind of changed it after the pilot. There was a little bit too much death in the first one.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. We're just like, because we were just getting really excited about it, and then we're like, oh, but we do die after this.
Oh, I do remember, actually, yeah.
So... I like to think of it more of like you're pitching your dream fantasy games night now.
Yeah.
But we'd already kind of like set up all the social media, so we're not changing the name.
No.
All right. So A, B, C, D.
I'm going to go with B.
B. You've got a random fact. Are you ready for your random fact, Jasper?
I am ready for my random fact.
It costs 5 times more to keep a panda than an elephant.
Well, that is devastating because I've always wanted a pet panda. So thank you for destroying my dreams, James. Thank you.
Are you happy that you now have that knowledge?
No, I'm actually really sad because now it's more attainable, it's more achievable for me to have an elephant than it is a panda.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What I take from that is I could have an elephant, but not a panda.
Have you got anything you'd like to plug for us, Jasper?
I'd love to plug my new podcast that I mentioned at the start of the episode, which will be airing and should hopefully be aired by the time this is released. I will be talking about lots of queer topics, not just including asexuality. It's basically going to be a space for people who might be questioning their sexuality or their gender to come and learn. It's a space for allies to learn more and help support their friends. And it's like a nice safe space for the queer community to come and listen and find out what's going on, and like expand their knowledge.
Amazing. We'll include the link in the show notes to this. So if that sounds interesting to you, check it out.
I would also like to promote my little business. So I make runes, which we've just been talking about Norse mythology. So, you know, I'm going to tie it in with that. I make runes and bone jewellery. And you can find that on Hotchpotch Panda on like Etsy and Facebook and everything.
Amazing. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff on there. We're going to buy some pronoun badges from you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come and talk to us today.
Thank you. It's been great.
Should we go through your last games night on Earth one last time? So, snacks. We're having a pizza buffet. Are you going with the conveyor belt? Or
I think that's a good idea. Yeah? I think we should have a sushi-style conveyor belt with pizza.
And then we're having lots of veggie little snack, little bits and bobs with that as well, aren't we? Then a lot or your words, not mine, of chocolate digestives.
It's not a party without chocolate digestives, I'm telling you.
That is what they say in the world of pop music. Drinks, you've got a magic pump, magic ale pump that serves you whatever ale you most desire at that moment with a side of Pepsi Max. Location, it's Wonderland. Music, you're having a banging playlist.
Just a big old emo throwback.
Excellent. Games, they were Ticket to Ride by Alan R. Moon, Deception, Murder in Hong Kong by Toby Ho, and Quacks of Quedlinburg by Wolfgang Varsh. Random special item was the ferret. What was the name again? What was the name of the ferret again?
Gwyn.
Gwyn. Amazing. Oh, that was really fun. I really enjoyed that. It was a great episode. Well, there's just one last thing to say. Play the outro, Scooter. Why Scooter?
Brilliant.
Fuck's sake.
You've gone with it.
As always, thank you so, so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us about anything at all, find us on social media with @LGNOEpodcast or email us at lastgamesnightonearth@outlook.com. If you enjoyed it, please consider telling at least one person. It's the best way to help spread podcasts. And if you want to help support Dungeons & Flagons' events in the future and keep the podcast going, check out our Patreon by searching Dungeons & Flagons. I've been James, and this has been Last Games Nights on Earth, a podcast by Dungeons & Flagons. Thank you.